It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 667. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Blake Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail on Skype. Name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow to get your free 15-day trial. You can also go to instanthousecall.com. The show is also brought to you by Malwarebytes. They have a portable, all-in-one computer toolkit called the Malwarebytes Toolset to help you diagnose, remediate, repair, and secure PCs. One of the great features that I like is the minute you launch it, you have System Application Security Network and History. The Security tab on the left gives you whether user account control is enabled, and you can just click on the settings and bring it up. Is the Windows firewall enabled? It tells you what antivirus you're using. So mine right now says Windows Defender, and then additional protection. If you have it, it lists it. So you get one pane quickly to take a look at security and much, much more. You can try it by just clicking on the link in my show notes at miketechshow.com. and read all about the Malwarebytes tool set so you can apply to become part of that program. I have been absent the last 2 weeks. It's been a while, so I have a lot to catch up on, but a couple things. We have the pending storm hitting the coast of the Carolinas, Hurricane Florence, as I record this on Thursday night, September 13th. More than thoughts and prayers, you go to redcross.org, make a donation. They're going to need all the help you can get. We don't want to wait till after all the problems. Let's help them now, and then they're going to have the funding to be able to take care of what's going to be, you know, disastrous with the winds and the rain and the flooding that's going to happen. So everybody down in that area, I hope you stay safe. Anybody that's listening to the show, where you are a listener. Second, want to thank everybody from the IT Owners Compass. Big shout out to Dave Greenbaum, Dr. Dave. When he was in line for his autographed book of the Pumpkin Plan from Mike Michalowicz, for his book, he asked that an inscription be written to me. And the author wrote me a really nice note and autographed it. And then he also gave Dave an autographed copy for Dave. So that was very, very nice. Dave took the time to send that to me, and I really appreciate it. That made my week when I received it. But then last Saturday, I received this big card that everybody signed who was at the conference. And just thank you for thinking of me. And I really appreciate it. So with that, a quick foot update. And it's why I've been kind of missing the last couple shows. The foot's not healing. And right now, I'm not able to have surgery. What they're doing, someone's coming over the house tomorrow, prescribed a bone growth stimulator. And this is a device that I'm going to have to put on my foot a couple times a day. I think it's ultrasound, and it helps the bone to heal because the bone's not healing. And let me tell you, I'll do anything that a doctor recommends. Whatever it takes to help repair this. They've already done molds of my feet because I'm getting orthotic inserts are being made from a prescription, and we're going to put that inside the boot to help me. They have a large amount of blood tests for different things as they try to figure out why my bone is not healing. They're afraid to do the surgery until they get results back from all these tests and trying different things. Surgery still could happen down the road, but right now they don't want to risk anything getting worse. I'm still limping along. Like day off, day on. Yesterday was a day off. Today I had my BNI meeting. I went to it. Tomorrow, day off. I can't walk for 2 days in a row. I am trying to balance, you know, resting my foot. And also, I got to stay in business, so I got to be able to do work. And I have to visit some clients. Now, I've reduced my schedule as much as I can, but I am my own enemy when I walk on the foot. Right now, that's the status, and I will keep everybody posted via Facebook and Twitter on show times. And you may see over the next few weeks, I may reschedule. Like, I'm going to try not to cancel, but if I know I'm free Saturday, I'll do a show. Like, even tonight, I'm doing everything I can to fight through a bunch of things because Saturday, I'm tied up remotely, got a project going on. And this is great because it's a good segue into In the Trenches. We've been getting an uptick of a lot of computers that I mentioned, of new systems. But here's the take. I have clients that are wanting 3 and 4 monitors. So these are business clients that need 3, 4 monitors. Now, financial advisors, we got a designer on this one system for Saturday. So my son's going to take out the system on Saturday. And what I'm going to do is help him remotely by running Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. And I'll run that remotely once he gets everything set up, takes out the drive from the existing computer, hangs it externally on the new system, get instant house call running. So I'll remote in and then I'll be able to do that work while he's doing other things. So that's my Saturday afternoon. That's why I wouldn't have time to do a show. There's been a couple Saturdays like that that I have been busy, which is great, where my son's been doing work. I got some work tomorrow night, Patch Tuesday. The weekend after a Patch Tuesday is when I do server updates. So Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday, this weekend, I am working remotely doing server maintenance and updates on all the servers that I manage for clients that are retainer clients. But we're looking at this is the fourth system that's multiple monitors. I'm going to put a link to the Optiplex. I think it's the 7050. I have to double check. It's a small footprint and it's got 2 AMD graphics cards. So we're going with the dual graphics cards so we can do 2 monitors on each of the graphics cards in the system. Something that normally you would get this from a gamer or somebody else. To us, it's new having more than 2. Usually most systems you get by default, they have built in 2, or you get 1 video card and you can do 2 monitors. But the request for 3 and now 4, it's been very interesting. I wanted to share that. Just lots of computers. Now, one of the challenges when you sell refurbs, and I sell a lot of refurbs, they come with a year warranty for where I'm purchasing them. But what do you do when I got the machine on my own because a company got rid of the systems and I took them on. We clean them up. We add RAM, put in a solid state drive, then do Windows 10 from scratch. Great question from Jack in the Box in the chat. Does Instant House Call support multiple monitors? Yes, it does. There's a but. I have 2 clients with 3 monitors and then now with the 3 and the 4. Here's what happens. You slide the bar across and therefore all the screens. So where other programs open up different windows, here it's just contiguous one window, and the bar at the bottom, you slide and it goes across. So it does work. There are resolution challenges when you have one monitor portrait. So I have clients where they have one landscape, one portrait. That portrait monitor is very difficult to get the resolution, and it's something I got to work with Instant House Call where they can improve that. One of the ways for me around it is you have to zoom in. And that means a lot of cursor movement because that resolution doesn't go well when you have mixed resolutions of monitors. When the resolutions are all pretty close to the same, it's seamless. But like I said, the challenge is the portrait monitor. Sometimes it doesn't show up portrait. It shows up and it's kind of sideways. And yeah, they're constantly improving. One of the things I love about Instant House Call is Corey, the owner, is constantly evolving, taking recommendations when anytime there's a feature or something we want. And that's why I love working with the company and with that software. It's the same with the tool set from Malwarebytes. It's the same with working with Fabrice for Fab's Auto Backup. When you have access to the author of the programs to be able to get features that you need and improvements, or if there's a bug, it's taken care of right away. That's all we can ask for what we do. A long way back to answer your question. So what happens when you do a refurb and it's an important employee of a big client? The refurb, the power supply, went. So we were able to quickly replace it because I'm starting to stock when I come across a computer that's older that I know I got a bunch of refurbs in that model. I kind of keep it here so I have the parts on hand. So I have two systems for this particular brand of Optiplex that I'm keeping spare parts. I'll tell you, my favorite refurb right now is the Dell Optiplex 7010 because it has USB 3, it's Core i5, coming with 8 gig of RAM, and I get it with a mechanical hard drive. Take the mechanical hard drive out. It's already got Windows 10. What we do is we activate Windows 10 with the drive that's installed. Then we either clone the drive to a solid state drive or pop it out and put a solid state drive in and then do Windows 10 from scratch. And since it already activated in the cloud for Microsoft, it will activate when you install fresh. We've had a lot of maintenance, a big uptick infections. And I'm going to tell you right now, a piece of software that I'm using that no other programs are finding it, and that's Rogue Killer. It takes a long time to run, but it is finding things that are slowing systems down that no other piece of software is finding. Wanted to share that. It's on my list to mention the Malwarebytes. Maybe they'll buy them. What I'm doing is I'm saving the logs so we can discuss with other different software programs. They can see what is Rogue Killer finding that the other ones aren't, so they can incorporate maybe that technology or, you know, that kind of stealth looking for those things. But I'm seeing Rogue Killer. One of the nice things last night, I ran everything. Nothing was found except Rogue Killer found two things. And it ripped it out. I rebooted. And man, it was significantly faster. My client this morning said, "Wow, Mike, what'd you find? A bunch of stuff last night? My system feels new." On a text, all I did was there were two things in Rogue Killer, but it made a big impact on performance. I'm taking the time to mention that because when things like that happen and I see it, I want to share it because you want to add that to your list of things that you run. But keep in mind, it takes a while to run. That's why I like doing the cleaning at night where you can just let that thing run. I could have that running on 4 or 5 systems remotely and then go on and do other things. So have a client, and this is the auto repair car wash client. We get a call, his system, his accounting system, he needs to run software and it won't run anymore. It says he doesn't have permission. He absolutely was the administrator on that system. It's an older system. It's running Windows 8.1, but he's now been downgraded to standard user. He doesn't know how or when it happened, but now he's having trouble. I had my son go pick up the computer. I said, go get it. I said, can you be without your system for a couple hours? I said, let me take a look at it. My son brought it back, and I've never tried this on 8.1, but in the past, I talked about the trick in Windows 7 where if you can boot from a repair CD or even the main media, get to a command prompt, and then move the file for the command prompt to the accessories program, I'm going to put that link in the show notes because I performed the exact same instructions, but with a bootable Windows 8.1 64-bit. So as long as you have media that's the same as the operating system, I put it in, we booted up, we got to a command prompt, we performed that copy. Then on the boot, you click that icon that's supposed to, I think, bring up a keyboard or it's a disability enhancement to be able to log into the computer system. They eliminated that, I think, from Windows 10. We click that, and now you're in a command prompt, and you have free reign of the command line commands for net user. So we create a new user called admin with the password admin. Then we add it to the local group administrators. It's just two command lines. We now can log in as admin, type the password admin, we're in, and now we can elevate the status of the user that the main account that my client uses. So the procedure that I reviewed in the past for Windows 7 works with Windows 8, 8.1, and that's good news. That's the first time I had to try that on Windows 8.1. My son took the computer back. It was only a couple hours, took it back. Oh, was he ecstatic just being able to get in and that we recognized what, I don't know, I still don't know what he could have done that lowered his credentials down to standard user. I have never seen that. I didn't care about where it was, you know, what was what caused it so much as solving the problem and keeping it going forward. Wanted to pass that little tip along. I have a stack of email, and then we're going to see if we can get into talking about some of the new features of Windows 10, the new update that's coming in October. This is from Bob. I know I'm beating a dead horse with these updates, but here is another Windows 10 update problem I am having. One of my machines I recently worked on was having issues updating Windows Defender. It shows up in the View Update History area as Update for Windows Defender Antivirus Anti-Malware Platform, and he has the knowledge base number in the version. It also shows any definition that is automatically updated. However, if I go and manually install the updated definition, it does the update. But then the next time an update definition is released, it shows up as the failed platform update, then that new definition. I found that the reason may be during one of their updates, they changed the location for Windows Defender. I was wondering if there's any way to uninstall Windows Defender or reinstall it properly so that it maintains its updating properly. Any help with this would be greatly appreciated. And this is Bob from New Hampshire. I know I had a problem with Windows Defender once, and I don't think you can install it. I don't think you can uninstall it and then reinstall it. I'm not sure because it's built into the operating system. Please let me know if you ran into this and what the fix might be. I haven't done any research on this, Bob, so I wanted to throw it out there to all the listeners. This is from Jerry. Two emails. So let's get the first one. You mentioned you were looking for time tracking or payroll software. I would suggest looking at T-Sheet. It's a QuickBooks company, and it integrates with QuickBooks Online. T-Sheet will allow you to assign an employee's time to a category, accounting, shipping, administrative, etc. T-Sheet has terrific support. Every tech I have spoken to says it's been wonderful. T-Sheet is worth a look. He follows up. I sent the last email too quickly and forgot to add a few things. First, T-Sheet has a 30-day trial. It does not have cards for employees to punch in or out. Instead, each employee selects a 4-digit PIN. Well, that's okay. That's a good idea. T-Sheet as a free mobile app you can install on an iPad and possibly an Android. and it will act as a kiosk, and the employee would select their name and enter in their PIN when signing in or signing out. This reduces the need to create cards for each employee, not to mention replacing cards when they get lost. It also helps you with scheduling an employee and managing the hours each person is working during the week. The company I work with, who is using T-Sheets, has been using it for about a year and has been pleased with it overall. The monthly charge is per employee. I can't recall the cost, but I believe it's under $10 per employee. The support is very good. Jerry, thank you so much. If any of you would like to also share software, hardware that you support for clients that involve clock in, clock out, I'd like to know about it just to have different options available when I come across a client looking for that. And that's where we ran into one that was really complex for the software and everything that a cleaning client has for all their employees. And they have lots of employees that rotate. They have the cards, and yes, employees lose them. And then you got the expense of redoing another card. I like the PIN idea. This is from Hilton, and this is a follow-up of Microsoft changing things in response to I'm always beating up Microsoft for imposing their will. Hi, Mike. Love your show. I hear your rants sometimes about Microsoft changing things, and it ends up breaking your users' setups. I feel your pain. I do find it interesting, however. It feels like Microsoft is finally deciding to force us to be security conscious. It seems like Windows has been set up to be convenient for normal users versus secure. Since I support Linux and macOS at work, you can kind of see how those two environments are locked down by default, and you have to unlock features. Even simple things like sharing and remote desktop access were wide open on Windows and locked down on Macs and Linux systems. I think we are going through the irritating process where security is starting to be more important than usability. Anyway, I hope that wasn't too long of an email. No, not at all. This is just an opinion. I'm not a Microsoft authority, but I do listen to Windows Weekly on Leo Laporte's Twit Network. Keep up the good work. I have learned so many things that helped me in my career by listening to your show. Thank you for all you do, and God bless. Thanks, Hilton. I appreciate that. Now, I agree. I want Microsoft to take security more serious and lock down things. I get that. But I want that done from scratch when you do an install. And then we can open those things up. My big beef is I've already made the decision to open it up, and they come by with an update and shut it down again. Now I got to open it up again. And that I disagree with. So I get it. I know they're trying to be more security conscious, and I want them to be. But if I've already made conscious decisions and changes, how can they keep people like us happy where we've made the changes, or users that have made changes, yet still try to be secure? And I get it. That's a big challenge because they can't conform to every person. They got to worry about the masses and what the bigger percentage of the win is. So let's deactivate SMB. That's a pain for people who have legacy communications. That's a problem. This is the challenge for Microsoft, and this is our challenge to have to live with the updates, know what updates are making changes so we can be proactive with our clients in then fixing them after that change is made. Like right now, we are being faced with another big October update to Windows 10. What's it going to break? What does Microsoft think they're fixing, but they're really breaking it for us? So it remains to be seen. This is from Jason Miller. VPN recommendations. We use SonicWalls for UTM firewall. The VPN site-to-site is super reliable. We have one customer with 8 different sites, all linked together, and we never have any issues. The SonicWalls also have a client VPN as well, so you can have laptops or mobile users connect back into the office. We have been using SonicWall for over 10 years now, and the latest firmware has improved the GUI a lot. And now they have basic cloud GMS included, so you can manage a lot of the settings from the cloud, and also allows the config backup to the cloud as well. That's awesome. I got to look into that. We are also a SonicWall partner, so we buy them at a discount. And also, they offer a security as a service model as well when you pay a small price per month. So it makes it easy to add up for MSP clients. So check them out. And if you need any help, let me know. Jason, thank you for that offer because, again, I know a dental office that's growing and is going to have multiple offices that are going to have to communicate. And I'm going to come up with, I got to come up with a reliable solution that can be HIPAA compliant, yet have a secure, reliable VPN. And a great recommendation. Thank you. This is from Adam. Show 660 BitLocker. Great show as always. I wanted to share my preferred storage method for BitLocker recovery keys. If the client has an Active Directory environment, we store the keys automatically as an attribute. You have to enable backup to AD. The best way to do this is with a group policy. In the GPO, open Group Policy Management, navigate to the GPO that's linked to the OU that you want to contain your settings for BitLocker. Right-click on the GPO and select Edit. Navigate to Computer Configuration, Policies, Administrative Templates, Windows Components, BitLocker Drive Encryption. I know. I'm going to stop right there. There is a group of listeners right now that's like tuning me out as they are, as you're listening to this, saying, Mike, this is just way too technical geeky. And then there's the other half of you that says, keep going. I want to know the rest of the commands. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. There's a nice list here that he put together and a great link from Spiceworks that I'm going to link. I'm also going to take his instructions here and make it a text file and put it in the show notes for this show 667. Do not worry. And I think that's the best recommendation I can ever make is you're listening to a show and you can't write down everything or that link, come back to the show notes. I spent a lot of time putting them together. And if I miss something, let me know, because what I will do, I will go at it if I miss something. Adam, thank you for taking the time for this, because I do have two clients that have an Active Directory environment and BitLocker. And this is a great way to automatically have the BitLocker keys backed up. This is from Michael. When I play your video in Chrome, I hear you twice in one video like you're repeating yourself. Has anyone noticed this? I have not. And I preview my video. I got to admit, though, I only look at it in Firefox. So I noticed you mentioned Chrome. So what I'm going to do is I'm looking at the date that you sent this, and I'm going to look at the last video before that, and I'm going to view it in a couple browsers. And is this a Chrome thing happening, or is it something on the recording part of mine? But if you click and look at the video that I post, and of course tonight I forgot to turn on recording, so there's not going to be a video for this show. But in any of the past shows, if you have a problem or you see something like that, let me know. Kick me an email saying, hey, Mike, yeah, I'm hearing an echo, or I'm hearing something, or boy, that video sucked, or something. Yeah. Let me know, because it's the only way I find out, because I'm so busy with so many other things. I'm juggling so many balls and then trying to manage getting the show posted up and everything. Your help is greatly appreciated. This is from Roger, an 809 area code scam. Now, I haven't heard of this. I'm forwarding this email about a new scam that I have not heard about. Now, we got to be careful. I'm going to mention this, but there's a lot of scams where there's emails going around and it's just a hoax, the scam is. There's no, that scam really doesn't exist. And you have to be careful about that. But I'm just going to mention this because Roger took the time to email me. And according to Snoops and AT&T, this is really happening. Have you heard of this? And I haven't. It's about being tricked into dialing area codes 809, 284, and 876 from the U.S. or Canada, and that you're going to get a ridiculous per minute charge. You always want to be careful of anything that asks you to do something or call a number. And one of the things I make sure I educate all of my clients, do not respond to anything that's telling you to do something, including Facebook. You know how many hoaxes and scams there are in Facebook where people, oh, cut and paste and move. Don't do it. Don't do it. If something or someone is asking you to do something, don't do it. You get a phone number up on a screen, call this number. Don't do it. Cut and paste this. You know, you're gonna save 1,000 children because if you forward this, don't do it. It's not going to happen. Be on the alert for scams of scams. We know what we're doing and we can get conned sometimes. Think of the poor typical user who's getting conned on, it's the IRS calling or it's Microsoft. I am amazed at how many people, they get the pop-up from, they went to a site that they shouldn't have gone to, or they mistyped something, and they get that pop-up that says, your license has expired from Windows, and you got to call this number. Once you call, game over. They want your credit card, and some of them, they want to just go through a whole full identity theft. I don't answer my phone anymore. I screen every single call. You wouldn't believe how many are recordings of that computer voice. Your Microsoft account has been, you have viruses on your computer. Call this number now. Or your Windows license has expired. Call us immediately to fix the situation. I get one a week right now on the voicemail. Something I communicate with everybody I run into. Screen your calls. Only answer it if you absolutely know. My phone goes into a voicemail on two rings. So I have like 15 seconds to make a decision whether I'm going to answer that or not. And most of the time I do not. And then I go to the voicemail and listen. And a lot of the times it's spam and they don't even leave a voicemail anymore. Definitely has lowered my stress level on phone calls. And the same with email. I deal with so much email spam and delete it. Don't forward them to anybody. On this scam, I just don't know. But I wanted to mention it out there. Roger, thank you for sharing it with me. Two links that I'm going to add to the show. And it's what's new in Windows 10 October 2018 update. I'm not going to review them because you can click on it and decide whether you want to, you know, read through this. A dark theme for File Explorer. Swift Key comes to Windows 10. Delayed sets brings tabs to every app. And then I have another link from CNET, which is the top 7 updates that we're going to see in Windows 7. Clipboard history and cloud sync, the dark mode for the apps. I guess the dark mode's good for me when I have the camera and you have the brightness of the browser from the back. I'm going to embrace the dark mode more than I thought temporarily, certainly when I'm recording my show. There's a new and improved screenshot tool. That should be interesting. Fewer annoying restarts for updates. Wow. Separate font size slider to adjust the font size. So that's just kind of a peek at some of the features. And for those of you who've taken the time to join me live, I will put them in the show, in the chat here for you. These are two links that will be, again, in the show notes for tonight. And that's it for tonight's show. The best way you can support the Mike Tech Show is use the Amazon link in the show notes It's Carrie Holzman's link. We share it. It supports Tech Vets. And yes, there will be a Tech Vets. As soon as I get back on track, I promised Carrie we will do some shows. Don't worry. We did not pod fade. You help support Carrie Holzman and myself. Your price stays the same, but a small percentage comes back. You have to click on the link. It takes you to the Amazon page. Anything you search for in that session and buy, we will get credit. And I really appreciate you taking that extra effort to do that. The sponsors, Instant House Call, Malwarebytes, Toolset. Links are in the show notes. Excellent software. Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. Can't live without it. For moving settings and transferring data from one machine to another, from one operating system to another, I use it almost on a daily basis, just like Instant House Call and the Malwarebytes tool set. These are things help me with my business and my team. We all use these programs, and it's why I talk about them so passionately, because they are so good. That's it. I hope to be back on a regular schedule, so thank you for taking the time and staying subscribed, and hopefully back here next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.